The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
Hey, I want to hear from you. Would you consider emailing me? You can reach me at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. And you can also make me one of your friends on Facebook and drop me a comment. Our Father, who art in heaven. Now, when we think Father, don't think of a distant supreme being who's disinterested. Jesus encourages us to pray, our Father who art in heaven.
Pastor Greg Laurie says when we pray, think of the closeness of our Heavenly Father and how He loves us as a Father.
We have a Father who will always be there. We have a Father who listens. We have a Father who loves. We have a Father in heaven.
This is the
Ken Boom once asked, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is prayer for emergency use only, or does it guide you in every decision and problem? Corey also said, any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us with the powerful privilege of prayer. He takes us to the Lord's Council on how to pray most effectively. We're in a practical study series on the Lord's Prayer.
All right, well, grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. And the title of my message today is Pray This Way. Who better qualified to tell us about talking to God than God talking to us? So look at Matthew 6. We're going to read verses 9 to 14. Why don't we go ahead and just say it out loud together? In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, this powerful prayer can be divided into two sections. The first three petitions, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, deal with the glory of God, reminding us what the real purpose of prayer is. What is the purpose of prayer? The real focus of prayer should not be on us, but on God, not on what we want, but on what God wants. So let's come to point number one about how to pray the way Jesus wants us to pray. Here it is. We're taught by Jesus we're to pray to our Father in heaven. I don't know about you, but I didn't have a dad growing up. My mom sort of hunted men for sport. And she was married and divorced 7 times. You've heard me say that before. She had a lot of boyfriends in between. My mom was like a guy magnet, and she seemed to enjoy it, moving from relationship to relationship, if you want to call it that. And she would tell me to call these men dad. Well, after about 3 guys in, it was getting a little old. I mean, in a complete stranger, my mom would say, this is your new dad. Call him dad. I didn't really want to call these guys dad. She did marry one guy named Oscar Laurie, who lived in New Jersey. And he was the only dad, in quotes, that treated me like a father should treat a son. Though he was not my biological father, he disciplined me, he taught me values, he took time for me, and I loved him. He also adopted me, and that's why I have his name, Oscar. A lot of you don't know that's my name. No, it's Laurie. But you know, so there was my dad, and I felt he was my dad, but one day, getting out of school in New Jersey, my mom has the car loaded up with all of our suitcases, and I said, where are we going? She said, we're going to Hawaii. I said, well, where's dad? She says, he's not coming. And that was the last I saw of Oscar for many years. And so we fly and land in Honolulu. Now, this was the mid-60s, and it was a super cool place back in the mid-60s. I mean, I have to admit, I really loved it, the air, the water, everything. And she married this guy who owned a bar in Waikiki Beach. And there was a big window behind the bar there. You look into the swimming pool. So I spent a lot of time just hanging out on Waikiki Beach in the mid-60s. I made friends with these guys they called the Beach Boys, not the band. These were the guys that ran the outriggers. And I would get free rides on the outriggers. They all knew me. All the tourists would paddle. I'd just take free ride after free ride. Pretty good life. But there was trouble in paradise. Because my mom was a raging alcoholic, as was the man she married. And this particular guy, who I couldn't call dad, so I can't remember if he told me to call him this or my mom did, I called him Diddly. Isn't that pathetic? Diddly. So anyway, Diddly was a mean drunk. And when he came under the influence of alcohol, he would scream and yell and hit. My mom was the same way. They would get in these giant fights. And one night, he hit her with a little statue and knocked her unconscious. She almost died. So we left Diddly and came to California. So you can understand when I say there's a lot of baggage with the word dad for me, all right? Now, it's not that way for everyone. Some of you have awesome dads. And, you know, your dad was loving and nurturing and affectionate and affirming and communicative. That's great. Thank God for that. But some of you had weird dads or maybe abusive dads or maybe you never even knew your dad. Okay, whatever the case, here's what I want to say. Your father in heaven is different than your father on earth, okay? That's not to criticize your father on earth. He's different. You know, because fathers and mothers let their kids down. And children let their parents down. We all let each other down at times. I mean, David knew what it was like to have a dad that didn't love him. David wrote, "When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." He said of God, he's a father to the fatherless. So God will be that father for you. But you have to understand, when Jesus said to his disciples, "After this manner, therefore pray, our Father who art in heaven," that was a revolutionary thought to a Jewish person. Jews of the first century did not call God Father. In fact, they regarded his name with such reverence and respect, they would not even utter it. In the entire Old Testament, God is referred to as Father fewer than seven times. And when he is referred to in that way, it's either indirectly or rather remotely. When Jesus referred to God as his Father, they accused him of blasphemy. And one of the reasons they crucified him was because he said, "My Father and I are one." And they said, "You're making yourself equal with God." And by the way, they had that right. And so they sent him to the cross. So, okay, we can say, I accept the fact that Jesus was God's son. I understand that Jesus could call God the Almighty Father. But how can I do it? Because of what Jesus did. See, when he went to the cross and died for our sin and rose again from the dead, he opened up a new covenant. So when he rises and meets Mary Magdalene there in the garden area around the tomb, and she grabs hold of him, she's clinging to him. He says, "Mary, don't cling to me." In other words, Mary, it's not going to be the way it was anymore. I'm not going to be here physically walking with you. It's a whole new ball game, a whole new covenant. Because I'm going to my God and to your God. I'm going to my Father and to your Father. Yes, Mary, you can call him Father now too. So Jesus gives us permission. Even more, Jesus encourages us. He tells us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." Now, when we think Father, don't think of a distant supreme being who's disinterested. Think of a warm, loving Father. Because the Bible says God hasn't given us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but one of adoption whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." The word Abba means daddy, sort of the Hebrew equivalent of daddy or papa. My grandkids call me papa. The other day, one of my grandchildren said, "Uppy, papa," meaning pick her up. How can you say no to that, right? So it's a term of affection. Now other people, they can't call me papa. They can, but I'll slap them. No, I won't. But I won't respond. I'm not your papa. I'm not your daddy. I'm their papa. My son can call me dad. Someone else can't. But the point is that it's relationship, you see. So Jesus is saying, you should say, "My Father who art in heaven." What is this Father like? Well, if you want to know what your Father is like, just look at Jesus. Because Jesus said in John 14:9, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So what is our Father like? Look at Jesus welcoming the little children. That's what your Father is like. Children are drawn to him. Look at Jesus washing the disciples' feet. That's what your Father is like. Look at Jesus weeping at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. That's what your Father is like, touched by your sadness and your hurt. But maybe the most vivid illustration is the story Christ himself told about the Father and what we call the story of the prodigal son. Now, the emphasis of that story is usually on the boy, but I think you could just as easily call it the parable of the loving father, because it's a story of a father who had two sons, as you know. One son goes astray, wrecks his life, wastes his inheritance, comes to his senses, returns home. While he's still a great ways off, his father sees him, runs to him, throws his arms around him, and kisses him, and restores him to full sonship. So what is God the Father like? What is our Father in heaven like? He's like a father who misses his son or daughter. He's like a father who longs for communication with us. He's like a father that will welcome you with open arms if you will come to him. That's the picture Jesus gave. We have a father who will always be there. We have a father who listens. We have a father who loves. We have a father in heaven.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. It's a privilege to bring these studies from Pastor Greg your way. And we're encouraged to hear when they've helped people.
Dear Greg, thank you for your daily devotions in my email. They've helped me as I deal with chronic pain every day. I have also shared them with several people close to me who are going through cancer. It helps them too. I open your email every morning, first thing, and it encourages me to get through the day. It's like opening a present. I hope you receive many letters that thank you for your anointed words. Keep the faith.
We will keep the faith and continue to bring you these daily studies from Pastor Greg. Has Pastor Greg heard from you? Why not let him know how this ministry has impacted your life? You can email Pastor Greg at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. Well, today, Pastor Greg is explaining how to pray as Jesus would have us pray, part of a short series on the Lord's Prayer. And our thanks to our Harvest partners and others who support us for helping to make today's insight possible.
Number two, we're taught by Jesus to pray with other believers. We're taught by Jesus to pray with other believers. Circle or underline the word are. After this manner, therefore, pray our Father who art in heaven. That's not to say you can't pray to him personally or individually, but it is interesting he used the word are. Jesus is teaching us this is a family prayer that we offer together with other believers. When you become a Christian, you become part of God's family. It's called the church, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, we're all in this together. You know, it's interesting. There's three moving prayers of confession in the Old Testament. In Ezra 9, Nehemiah 9, and Daniel 9. And in every one of those prayers, the pronoun we is used frequently, meaning Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel were not guilty of the sins they were confessing, but they identified themselves with the people who are praying. They said, Lord, we've sinned against you. We've done this evil because we're all in this together. You know, one of the things that saddens me is when I see Christians fighting with each other. Even worse, how we divide over theological minutiae or even style of ministry. I'm reminded of the words of J. Vernon McGee. You ever listen to him on the radio? Get aboard the Bible bus. And one of the things that McGee said, I won't do it in his voice, but here's a statement. He says, the only exercise some Christians get is running down others and jumping to conclusions. That's true. Paul issued this warning to the Galatians in Galatians 5. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you'll be consumed by one another. We should not be biting, devouring one another. We should be loving and forgiving one another. Now look, some people are lovable. Like me, I'm very lovable. No, I'm really not. But people are lovable because, well, they're attractive, or they're talented, or they're intelligent, or there's something we like about that person, so it's easy to love. But other people are not lovable, are they? They're cantankerous, they're off-putting, they're irritating. But if they're part of the church, they're our brother and sister too, and we're to love them. In fact, if we can't love unlovable people, how much do we even know about the love of God? Some will say, well, you know, I love Jesus, I just don't love Christians. How can you love God who you can't see when you don't love your brother who you can see? And actually, the Bible says the earmark of conversion is when you love your brothers. 1 John 3:14, we know we pass from death to life because we love our brothers. And anyone who does not love his brothers is passing to death. But this shows that prayer and worship go together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's our Father. But notice how I'm now to give praise to him. You know, if you have the luxury of time in your prayer, don't cut to the chase and go to your grocery list. Sometimes we approach God in prayer and it's, by Lucy paraphrase, it would look something like this. Hey God, how's it going? Good to see you. Hey, here's what I need today. Amen. Or we would pray along these lines. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. But the Lord's Prayer, the template for all prayer, the model prayer, does not teach us to pray that way. It teaches us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means set apart. Glorified is your name. So just stop and contemplate the glory and the awesomeness of God. And I think if you do that, it will change the way that you pray. It will give you perspective. You'll see everything you're facing differently. When you pause to contemplate the greatness of God, you get perspective. See, because when you have a big God, you have relatively small problems. But if you have big problems, do you actually have a small God, or at least an improper view of him? When the 12 spies were sent into the promised land, 10 came back with a negative report. They said they felt like grasshoppers and the inhabitants were giants. And by the way, they were exaggerating everything. They were looking at their obstacles instead of their great God. Joshua and Caleb, two of the 12 spies, saw the same things and came back with faith. And they said, let's go conquer the land. It's all how you look at things. And sometimes we can come to church and we're just overwhelmed by our problems. And we worship the Lord. And then we hear a message from God's word and we walk out and our problems are still there, but we see them differently because we've seen God in his power. That's why church is so important. That's why fellowship is so important. That's why praying together is so important. When we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, it really becomes a game changer as you see things as you ought to see them from a proper perspective. I'm reminded of a story years ago. My son Jonathan was going to learn how to scuba dive and go out with an instructor. This is off of the coast of Maui. And I'm a certified scuba diver. I have been for years now. I don't dive very often, but I am technically certified, which means I can go and get a tank filled with air and go drown somewhere, which is probably what would happen because I don't dive enough. But he was taking this little course and they, you know, learn how to put their mask on and the fins and how to use the tanks and the regulators, all that. And so I kind of watched from a distance, but I didn't go through the course because I'm certified, right? So when they had their dive the next day, I asked the instructor, can I go along for the dive because I'm certified? And he said, sure, come on. And so I showed up the next day, but the problem was a storm came. And the water was super choppy and the boats were pitching back and forth. And I was hoping they'd cancel it. Not a chance. He gets everybody in the boat and we're going out and we're just pitching back and forth. You've got your vest on. You've got your weight belt on. You've got your tanks on, your regulator in. And the way you get in the water is you've fallen backwards. That's the last thing you want to do when you have all that weight on your body. But you know, I was getting a little nervous, I'll be honest. And we went in the water and I started to panic a little bit. And I looked over at Jonathan and his eyes were as big as saucers. He was freaking out. But I had no words of encouragement because I was scared too. I love what the instructor did. He said, Jonathan, Look at me. Jonathan looked at him, and I looked at him too. What? The instructor said, remember your training. Remember your training. And then they started breathing. You went under, and once you were under the water, it was great. So here's my point. The reason we start sinking in despair is we stop looking at our great God, and instead we looked at stormy seas. And we need to realize he's in control. Remember your training. Remember what the Word of God says. So as I pray, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm just taking my time to contemplate the awesomeness of God. Now look, if you're in an emergency situation, it's okay to cut to the chase. If you're out swimming and a great white is approaching, and you know because you hear the theme music of Jaws playing, you don't have to ramp up to the jet. God help, that'll be fine. But if you have the luxury of time, contemplate the greatness and the glory of God. But listen, this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, this access to God is only possible through Jesus Christ. And it's from relationship. How do I come into this relationship with God? Will being born in a Christian home help? Well, maybe, if you believe the message you learned there. But you can't live off somebody else's faith, you see. There has to be a moment in your life where you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sin, and I turn from it. And Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin, will come and live inside of you, and you can have this new relationship with God where you now call him Father, and you can know that your prayers are heard in heaven. God has this plan for you. He wants to reveal it to you. God wants to speak to you. God wants to hear from you, but this can only happen through Jesus. So we have to come to the Father through the Son. Good works won't get you there. Living a good life won't get you there because you're just not good enough. No one is. But God will forgive you if you'll admit your sin. And I want to just close now with prayer and give an opportunity for anyone that has joined us, anyone that is watching or listening who does not know God in this personal way. God seems distant. God seems disinterested in you. Nothing could be further from the truth. God will come and take residence in your heart today if you will ask him to and turn from your sin. If you've not done that, we're going to close in prayer and I'll give you an opportunity to get right with the Lord, to have your sin forgiven and go to heaven when you die and start this relationship with your Father in heaven. Let's all bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what Jesus has done for us. And now I pray for any that don't have this relationship with you. Help them see, Lord, they can have it today by coming to you and believing. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important invitation today. And if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a moment. And if you would, be in prayer right now for those who are making this kind of decision. Now, if you missed any part of today's Insight on Prayer here on A New Beginning, you can hear an instant replay by going to harvest.org. Why not take advantage of all the help you can get? Just look for the study called Pray This Way. You can listen for free online or download an MP3 or contact us for a CD copy by calling 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. You know, sometimes when we're going through a time of challenge and distress, it helps to hear from someone else who suffered pain and find out how they made it through. Well, that's why we're making available the book called I Still Believe by singer-songwriter Jeremy Camp. As you may know, Jeremy lost his wife to cancer some years ago, just weeks after they were married. Obviously, a heart-wrenching time of questions and uncertainty. Well, he talks about surviving that challenging season in the pages of I Still Believe. And Pastor Greg spoke with Jeremy recently.
Someone's listening right now, Jeremy, that maybe just heard the news that they have cancer, or they're struggling with what seems to be an insurmountable obstacle. They think, I will not survive this. Maybe say something to someone who doesn't know what to do, and maybe they feel like God has abandoned them, because you may have felt that way or felt disillusioned through all of this.
Absolutely. I remember there was a time when I was reading my Bible after my wife went to be with the Lord, and I was reading about how he was talking to the blind man and saying, if you have faith, I'll heal you. And he says, I have faith, help my unbelief. You know, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Yeah. And I remember he healed him, and I took my Bible and I threw it across the room, and I said, God, I believed. Why didn't you heal my wife? And there was that whole struggle and the disillusionment of all the promises that people were giving us. Like, you're going to be fine. Yeah. She's going to be fine. And so you just go, Lord, are you listening? Are you here? And honestly, I remember I was on the ground after she died, and I was in a fetal position. And I remember God speaking to my heart and just saying, she had just died. And he said, stand up and worship me. Mm. And I remember I didn't feel like it, of course. So there was like three times I heard, stand up and worship me. So I remember I finally was like, okay, I stood up, had no strength. My dad, you know, lifted my arm up and to help me up. And I remember I sat there and started worshiping, and I felt the presence of God so strong in that room. He was just saying, I'm here, I'm with you. And if I wouldn't have been obedient to take that step, then I wouldn't have experienced that. And so I tell people a lot, you know, it's sometimes just taking a step, you know, even if you don't feel like it, you know, and even questioning in a sense the why, because I remember saying why, and God just said, I remember thinking about Christ on the cross, and you know, he did say, my God, why have you forsaken
That's
me?
Right.
I think people get afraid to say, God, why? Because they don't want to feel like they're going to be struck down, and they're not, because God understands. He knows your pain. He knows your hurt. It says that we have a high priest that can empathize with your weaknesses, you know? Yeah. So when you feel like no one understands, he knows the innermost parts of your being. He formed you before you were in your mother's womb. He knew you. Yeah. He knows everything about you. He knows those hurts and those pains. Yeah. And I think sometimes that if we don't know what to do, and we feel like that, do we even take, you know, we can't even take a step. It's like God saying, you don't have to. I got you. I'm going to carry you. You just trust me. You know, fall in my arms and trust me.
Helpful words from Jeremy Camp. And by the way, we want to offer the book that Jeremy himself has written called I Still Believe. He'll go into detail and tell you all that he went through with his wife, Melissa, and their beautiful love story, the very difficult times they went through together, and the hope that he has found despite what could seem like hopeless circumstances. And as you know, a film's coming out very soon, just days away, called I Still Believe, a major film in theaters nationwide. Eventually, it'll be worldwide. But before you see the movie, you want to read this book. And I'll send this book to you for your gift of any size. And I mean literally your gift of any size. You send just a little, we'll rush a copy to you. But others can send a little more. And the reason we offer these resources is so you will help to support our ministry so we can continue to do what we do each and every day, which is teach the Word of God and proclaim the gospel and invite people to believe in Jesus Christ. So listen, get your copy right now of Jeremy Camp's book, I Still Believe. Here's Dave to tell you more.
Yeah, it's filled with such great encouragement, honest reassurance that God will walk with us no matter how dark the valley. And we're sending it to say thank you to those who can partner with us to keep these daily studies coming your way right here. There are no large churches or organizations paying our way. No, it's just the investment of listeners who value these studies and want them to continue. In fact, we'd invite you to become what we call a harvest partner. These are the close friends of the ministry who invest each month in the amount that they choose. Would you consider becoming a harvest partner? Get the details by calling 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or send your first gift as a harvest partner today to A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. And we'll thank you with Jeremy Camp's book, I Still Believe. You can take care of the details online as well at harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, I know there are some in our audience who felt God speaking to them today through your message, and they want to make a change in their relationship with the Lord. Could you help them with that?
Yeah, you know, Dave, the Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer where you will be doing just that, calling on the name of the Lord. So listen, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life and take away your guilt and your shame, then just stop what you're doing and pray this prayer with me right now. Pray this after me if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your commandments. I have fallen short of your standards. But 2,000 years ago, you died on that cross for me. Then you rose again from the dead. So Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord and my God and my friend. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for calling me and accepting me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Listen, if you have just prayed those words with Pastor Greg and meant them sincerely, the Lord has heard you and forgiven you of your sin. And we want to welcome you into the family of God. And we'd like to send some follow-up materials your way to help you begin to live this new life of faith. Let us send you our New Believer's Growth Packet. Just ask for it when you write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go to harvest.org and click on Know God. Well, next time, Pastor Greg continues his practical studies of the Lord's Prayer. We'll consider those things we should avoid, but things so many of us do. Good insight coming next time here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.